one aspect of grace, because we're looking at the subject of grace, is about generosity. But unfortunately, that's not the aspect that I'm bringing out today. Although it's a very important and powerful part, an aspect of grace, because God is very generous to us, and he invites us likewise to be generous, and it's a key to breakthrough. But when Pam brings something quite strong like that, it's a shame I'm not carrying on talking about that. That's all I mean. But we will be looking at that, but it's just not this morning. But anyway, I had in mind the aspect of grace that I was going to bring to you this morning, but felt kind of nudged in a certain direction. So I'm attempting to follow what I felt was the leading of the Holy Spirit in that. And there was a kind of like a prophecy came to me, which is very, very simple and short. And it's this. It's my desire, says the Lord, for my people not just to hear about my grace, but to experience it. And the message I want to share this morning is a message for Grimsby and Cleethorpes, the United Kingdom, and the United States of America. How about that? But it's for you too. What I'm saying is, Pam talked a week or so ago, Pam Joman, about confessing things and speaking things out. And I just want to speak this out. So, and what I'm saying is, what's on my heart, what's on my mind, isn't just us here, although you're the most important people, the people in front of me. But I'm just saying I'm saying this to our area, I'm saying this to our nation and to the United States of America. How about that? Don't have to go there to do that necessarily, because it's on podcast. And God answers prayer. It's kind of a prayer I'm praying as well in speaking. So how about that? The subject is the impartation of grace. The impartation of grace. To impart something means to give something from some person to another. Like, if you've got petrol, put petrol in the tank. You've imparted petrol to that. And God imparts good things to his people. Grace is more than just an attitude of God or some theological concept, you see. The very presence of God comes to us and begins to work in our lives in very practical ways. In a sense, God transmits to us his love, his mercy, most of all, his presence into our lives. A verse from the Bible that captures this really well is Psalm 5:12. And it says here, says there, Psalm 5:12, "For surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your grace or your favor like a shield." And so here's grace. And it says God surrounds us. You bless us. You surround us with your favor or grace like a shield. Their grace is kind of like a protection over your life. At the end of this morning, what I really would like to do is pray for you and pray for us in this room for the things that I feel that God has laid on my heart, if I may. I'd like to do that. The pattern of what I'm going to say is similar to how it has been while we've been looking at this. And that is, I want to look at this aspect of the grace of God. And then how will that affect you and me? In 1 Corinthians, Paul says to the Corinthians, he said, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power." That's what we want. We want the active work of God in our lives by his Spirit. There are some things that can't be moved apart from the grace, the power, the light and life of God in our lives. Would you agree with me on that? And so we want an impartation of God's grace into our lives. Now, when I started this little series, I mentioned that nearly all the epistles, the letters in the New Testament, by the way, lighten up. This is normal. You know, don't get too heavy on me. You can sort of say, well, I want to pray for you and you need an impartation. This is to America. And hang on, this is just normal. I'm just being normal here. So lighten up. Lighten up and you'll get something from God. So, but nearly all the epistles begin with grace and peace to you. It's like an impartation. It's something coming. It's like Paul wills this on them. He almost transmits it to them, grace and peace to you. And we looked at that in the first session. And we also looked at the high priestly prayer in number 6, which David and Anne-Marie came out and actually prayed over us in that session. And it involves Aaron invoking God's blessing over God's people. And it goes like this, says, the Lord bless you. It's on the screen, probably there. Oh, no, it's too far on that. Go back. But that's good, isn't it? Don't you think that's good, escape from prison? Anyway, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And where it says the Lord be gracious, that's grace. Be gracious. And it's like Aaron is projecting it onto the people. There's an impartation of life of God, the Spirit of God onto people. And the sense of the verb there is active and in the present and future. What it's saying is this, something's going to happen as a result of God's grace and favour over your life. Something's going to change for the better. Things are not going to stay the same. And there are some people in this room, and there are people across our nation in this area, that need to know things do not have to stay this way. The grace of God can be revealed and change your situation. Our nation, our area, as Pam was saying, change for the better. Isn't God good? Two fascinating phrases, these, aren't they? The Lord, what does this mean? The Lord turn his face towards you and the Lord make his face shine upon you. It's an impartation. And in a negative sense, I remember hearing or reading about a certain Californian gang. And the awful thing that they did was that they would be driving in a car and someone would have a gun. And what they would seek to do is that they would seek to fire at a car nearby, a person who was in a car near to them. But they would have the gun ready, but they wouldn't actually fire it until they got eye contact. And as soon as they made eye contact, I suppose there's more of a thrill in it than thinking, and they see the gun and bang. And this was going on until they stopped that happening. But the thing is, eye contact, and it's almost like, but in the positive sense, God's face is towards us, and his face shines upon us, and there's that shining, that radiance from God, and it comes to us, and it imparts good. It brings change to our life. And when he looks on us with favour, he transmits, he imparts himself. It's like we're surrounded with a different atmosphere, and we and our circumstances are changed. Our destiny's changed. We're kind of singled out. We become different to the people around us. They don't know it, but things start to change. An example of that I mentioned previously of Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And there began a process in his life leading to him being saved from death and his family as well. And Irene mentioned about things shaking and starting to change. It's a process. Things don't happen immediately, generally. But God gives wisdom. And he said to Noah, build a boat, Noah. There's no water about. Well, build a boat, Noah. Do that. As KJ said, make a cake, KJ, for this situation. God gives wisdom, insight, what to do in a situation, the grace of God, the presence of God, the wisdom, insight of God comes to us. We need an impartation of God's grace. There's two things stand in contrast to one another. One is the infinite grace and mercy of God. See, the other is really, in many situations, the dire need and helplessness of humans. Our country is in dire need. Our area is in real need. But by contrast to that, there's the grace of God. And a picture of these two contrasts we can see in Matthew 4. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. And it said, this is on the screen, by the way. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness. Now, Irene was talking about darkness. And there's people in darkness. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. What's that light? The light of Christ. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And for some people, life is darkness. It's hopeless. There's no real expectation of any good. The only thing really to look forward to ultimately is death, even for the richest and the best off people. It's funny, I was talking to my neighbour just over the fence like I do, and he just happened to say to me, it surprised me, because he's, you know, both him and his wife both got good jobs, and, you know, relatively well off. And he just said to me, Hugh, life is meaningless. Life's meaningless, isn't it? And there's just something itching inside. I just wanted to give him the gospel straight away, you know. He knew I was a Christian and I'd spoken to him briefly before. But he says, life's meaningless, isn't it? You just go around a cycle and do it all again. And my dad's about to die. He's had a good life, but in 30 years I'll be there. And life's just a cycle, isn't it? It's meaningless. And what is life? What is life? It's people living in darkness, living in the shadow of death. But a light has dawned. One translation puts it sitting in the land of the shadow of death. It's motionless, unable to move away from that state. There's a hymn that I like, which is Charles Wesley, And Can It Be? And there's a line in there, it says, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. And for so many of us, isn't that our story or our testimony? How Jesus came into our life and our life destiny changed. Suddenly a light went on, and where we were going, nowhere, into nothing really, and life had a meaning to it. There was a point, there was a destiny that we can walk in. What a contrast with what Paul says. He says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. And in Romans, he says this to the Romans. He says, may the God... What a contrast. Listen to this. May the God... It's on the screen, I think. Oh, nice one. Spot on. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful thing. And so, God wants to impart his life, his goodness, his favour into your life. I believe he wants to do that to this area. And people like Pam in The Rock and others are working practically to bring light and life. People like Ellen Beckett are working in CAP to help people get out of the misery of debt. People who work for care are helping people get a house. We're all doing our bit. Sometimes it feels it is only a bit, but the bit we do is better than nothing that we could do if we just sat down and did nothing. But God is with us, and he wants to minister his grace into the lives of people here and in the lives of our town, our country, and even in America as well. But what's the effects of God's grace then? when he imparts his life to us. Well, that first one can go back up if that's all right, Alex. Escape from prison. It's just a, should be there. It's okay. So the first thing I just want to share is that the impartation of God's grace brings escape from prison or release from shackles. So suddenly, this is Acts 12, verse 7, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And Peter followed him out of the prison. Can I just say, this message is not very complicated. If you came to hear something complicated and excited by fine theological ideas, forget it. Because the gospel of Jesus is very simple. It's very straightforward. It's the difference between light and darkness. It's the difference between hope and hopelessness. It's the difference between life and death. It's very basic, but it's very profound. And the point I want to say to you this morning is that for anybody here, you may not be in a literal prison like this Lincoln prison a few miles down the road or wherever, but you could be in prison in your life. And the first effect of God's grace being released into your life could be escape from prison. The hymn goes, "My chains fell off, my heart was free." What kind of prisons could you be in? You could be in the prison of addiction, the prison of a fear, the prison of depression, the prison of failure, the prison of early abuse in your life that's left a stain on your life, the prison of hatred and bitterness that you've never been able to really forgive. There are various prisons that we could be in, but I just want to say today that God is here to pour his grace over your life, into your situation, and free you. And I speak to Grimsby and Cleethorpes, come off the chains, get out of the chains. Grimsby and Cleethorpes, in the United Kingdom, be free. Find the light of life. Find Jesus Christ, be free. The second effect of God's grace is, next one. With me in trouble. The troubles of life. I've also mentioned this before. I just want to read from Exodus chapter 2. And it's about the Israelites, the people of God, and they were in slavery in Egypt. Slavery. Some people are still in slavery to some of those things that I've mentioned there. And other things as well. Some people, I believe, even in here, are a bit slave to some things. During that long period, the king of Egypt died and the Israelites groaned in their slavery and they cried out. And their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And listen to this. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned for them. You know, the eyes of the Lord, the face of the Lord, the favor of the Lord. God looked on them. Now, they didn't immediately come out of that slavery at all. It took a process. It took a time. But God's favor, God's presence came upon them. And eventually, the great miracle of the parting of the Red Sea came and they were freed. They were freed. An answer was brought and they were freed. Psalm 91 and verse 15 says, I will be with him. That's a person of God. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. First effect of grace is escape from prison. The second effect of God's grace as it's imparted into your life is troubles in life. The third effect of grace I want to share with you this morning is my dark past. Sorry, not my dark past. You know what I mean. Your dark past. We've got a dark past. Romans 1 and verse 7 says this. Says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Paul here again imparting, saying grace and peace to you. And then, interestingly, at the end of Romans 16 and verse 20, says this, says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan from under your feet. Now, immediately after that, there follows, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Is that on the screen? Thank you. Keep it up on the screen if you don't mind. Go back. Well done. So what's going to make them victorious over Satan? The grace of God, his presence, his favour, as they experience it in their lives. Irene talked about dark shadows. She also talked about this idea of death. And I agree with what Irene has said there. I think there are some people in here who've been toying with this idea of death. And you've got a choice. And the choice is this. God says, choose life. Choose life. And he will stand with you and support you in that. We stand with you and support you in that. I will not die. I will not die but live and proclaim the works of the Lord, the psalmist says. But there's also people who have had dark things happen to you. There's a darkness there. And God wants to shine his light on that. He wants to free you from the shackles of darkness. He wants to help you and deliver you. The next one is, I've put it, I'm running on empty. Have you ever felt in life that you're running on empty? I've run out, God. I've nothing left. I'm running on empty. I'm at the end of myself. I've nowhere to go, nothing to do. I've no money to buy for any help. I'm on empty. One of the letters Paul writes to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 2. But this time, instead of just grace and peace imparting, he says, grace, mercy, and peace. And some people need mercy. Can't do it, God. I'm on empty. I'm on empty. Grace, mercy, and peace be imparted to you. Whatever your situation is, whatever's brought you to that place, God can begin to work in your life, shine his light upon you, and help you, give you wisdom, give you solutions to your problems, ways through that difficulty. I'm running on empty. The next thing is that life starts to work for you. We sang one of the songs that Pete led us in. By your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Let me say that again. By your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Let me say this. God does not want you to live your life in defeat. He wants you to be successful. He wants things to work for you. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, by the grace of God, and David touched on this last week. See how many times grace comes up? Probably count. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me. That word, of course, as you can see, I've underlined it, occurs three times in one verse. And basically, Paul puts his success in his ministry, if you like, to the grace of God. He said, I worked harder than anybody at this. He said, but to be honest, it's not me, it's the grace of God with me. Grace of God comes with us. And the next slide, I think it is, God wants us to be successful. He wants you to be productive, to be fruitful in your life. Here's another passage from Proverbs 16 and verse 5. In the light of the king's face is life, not death. Life, not death. And his grace or favor is like a rain cloud in spring. Now, rain, last time I knew, brought life. not death. Life, not death. And in Israel, rain is the greatest blessing, especially the latter rain or the spring rain, because that's what brings the harvest. That's what brings success to the plants. It brings growth, it brings life, not death. In the light of the king's face, his face shining on you, the impartation of his grace and favour is like a rain cloud in spring. What a breath of fresh air, that rain. May the rain of God's spirit and grace fall upon you today. May it fall upon our area. May it fall upon our country. May it fall upon the United States as well. And two more things. Next one. Health and well-being. I was praying about this and this came into my head. It's not directly linked to any verse about grace. I don't care. Health and well-being. Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7 says this. Moses, I like this. This is me. Moses was 120 years old when he died. Probably not quite that. Yet his eyes were not weak. All right, forget about that. You know, the glasses. Nor his strength gone. Do you know what? However long I live, I want to be like this. I want to go out with a bang. I hope I'm running or playing squash because I've still got strength. I don't want to die when I'm running. I don't want to die. But you see what I'm saying? That whenever we die, we go, but we're strong because God has been with us. And I just want to pray for people for that grace. If you're physically impaired and weak, I just want to pray over you. I want to pray God to bless you and help you. And then the last thing, this is the last thing, the last aspect of an impartation of the grace of God in our life is this. It's breakthrough into a new era. Breakthrough into a new era in 2017. And go to Zechariah, which I think already been mentioned, says this about a mountain. The mountain was opposition to the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. The opposition to moving forward in life successfully. The opposition to a brand new start. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, he was the leader leading the remnant back to Israel. You shall become level ground. And he shall bring forward the top stone amid shouts of grace. Grace to it. Neat, isn't it? Grace. Grace to it. The rebuilding had been opposed, but Zechariah was prophesying, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. A new day, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, you're going to make it. You need to hear that. And then verse 9 says, two verses later, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. So it had not happened yet, but he was saying it's going to happen. Going to happen. Grace to it, when the capstone on grace to it. And it's kind of a symbol of breakthrough into a new era in the life, light, favour of God. Okay. In the Second World War in North Africa, the British were pushed right back until a new general, Field Marshal Montgomery, took over, who was actually, incidentally, I don't know if you know this, but he was a born-again Christian. He talked about the Lord of Hosts helping the army. But anyway, he got up and he spoke, and the officers were a right motley lot. It was like kind of like an old boy network, and they were indisciplined and unproductive, a useless lot, and they were the leaders. And Monty got up one day and he just said, "I want you to listen to me. We're going to beat Jerry." That's actually what he said. "We're going to beat Jerry," like that. I even got the Marie, right? And there was struck a note in the army. He sorted out the toffs, you know, we're all in this together, aren't we? Yes, well, I'll look after you if you look after me. He sorted all that out and put some discipline in. And it went right through, and step by step by step by step, the British Army, the North Africa Corps, drove the Desert Fox Rommel back until liberation. Till North Africa was liberated. Paul writes in Philippians, "He who began a good work in you will also carry it on to completion." He who's begun a good work, he who started in you, is not stopping now. By the grace of God, you will move from darkness and into his light. By the grace of God, the offer from the Lord to you, I believe this morning, is the offer of breakthrough into a new era with him this year. If you will cooperate with him, if you will say, if faith rises in you today and you say, "Yes, God, I want you. I want your grace to minister to me. I want your enabling. I want your life. Surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." And so I wonder if Pete could come back in the music team. And I'd just like to pray. We're not going to be long at this. If you would like individual prayer, you can come out probably afterwards. People will individually pray with you with great pleasure. It's one of the things we do as a church. We love to bless people and pray with you. But I wonder, would it be all right to stand? And I'd just like to pray... pray this over you, and it's you that you need to be active in this. If you're saying in your heart, if you've heard what I've been saying, or you've heard what KJ's been saying, or you heard what Pam's been saying, or something has happened, and somehow you're saying, "Yes, God, I want this. I want your life in me." Let me just quickly recap. You want escape from your prison. You want help in your troubles, your dark past, and there is a darkness over some people. You want to be free. If you're running on empty, you want life to work. What aspect of life do you want to work? Because listen, you're not going down. For life to work. For health, for well-being, fruitfulness, for rain to fall, breakthrough into a new era. I wonder, I often ask this, if you would like to receive from the Lord today, and you can respond in some way to what I've said to you or what someone else has said to you, why don't you just put your hands out in front of you like that? Just say, "Lord, yeah, I have faith," and then I'll pray for you. And then I'd like us just to do something else, and then Peter will lead us in a closing song. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. And we come to you this morning, Lord, in this room and your people. And Lord, some of us, Lord, can relate personally to these situations. We need freedom. We need an impartation of your grace and your favor over us. And so I just pray for my brothers and sisters, my friends here this morning. Oh Lord, that as I pray, that by your Spirit you will come to us. Because it's not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And so, Lord, right now, to those areas in people's lives, would you come and minister your grace to them? We will not die, but live. With a long life, will you satisfy me, O God? Praise you, Lord. Just receive from the Lord now in your heart. If there is a sticking point, if there is a particular issue in your life that you need breakthrough in, and you rise in your heart to this particular situation where we talk about a breakthrough into a new era, then I'd like to invite you to speak out like Zechariah said about the capstone on the temple, grace, grace to him, just once. So the situation in your life personally, could be in a relative, it could be whatever situation you need grace in, hold that in your mind and say grace, grace to it, if you're willing to do that, if you want to do that, okay? But many of us are going to do that, maybe all of us, up to you. Okay, but after three, grace and then grace to it. One, two, three. Grace, grace to it. And I would just like to speak also over this area, Grimsby and Cleethorpes. I wonder if we can speak grace over this area to see people freed, the poor met by God, and this area changed. If you can say that after three, can you say that? One, two, three. Grace, grace to it. And then thinking of our own country, the United Kingdom, and the turmoil post-Brexit. But this country isn't destined for down the tubes. This country is destined for good things. Can we speak grace over our nation and over the United States as well? After three. One, two, three. Grace, grace to it. Amen.